would at this time, if you would bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. Would you be willing from your heart silently to the Lord right now? Would you just pray this simple prayer? Lord, would you speak to my heart today through the message and draw me closer to you? Would you pray that silently from your heart to the Lord? Lord, speak to my heart today through the message and draw me closer to you. Secondly, would you say to the Lord, Lord, help the preacher to preach the message exactly as you'd have him to today. And lastly, would you say, Lord, we want everything to bring praise and honor and glory to you. All of God's people said,
amen.
Amen. You know, in life, we get a lot of bad news. Would y'all agree with that? In life, we get a lot of bad news. Sometimes we hear words like it's cancer. Maybe we hear words like he or she passed. Maybe we hear words like this. It's going to cost a lot more than we thought. Don't you just love to hear that? We hear bad news like you did not get the job or the position. Sometimes, Jason, maybe we hear your test score was not as high as we had hoped. maybe you hear something like your appliance cannot be fixed. Or we might even hear words like your dog died. And sometimes this bad news hits us pretty hard, right? Can I share with you today some good news? Can I share with you really the best news that you and I have? Every day of our life, the best news that we have every day of our life is that Jesus can forgive us. I'm thankful for that. We've been talking about, this is part number three of a series of messages that we're looking at, miracles that teach. Miracles that teach. Now, a miracle is something that only God can do. It's something that some say go against nature. It's not supposed to happen that way. It's something that God does, something that is supernatural. And we've been looking at the Bible. Actually, we've been in Luke chapter 5 for the previous two messages. We're going to stay in Luke chapter 5 and preach this message number 3. And with this miracle, God is trying to teach us something. Now, there's some roughly 35 miracles recorded in Scripture. And you know, Jesus did a whole lot more than 35 miracles during his 3 years of ministry on this earth. So when you read these miracles, you really ought to ask yourself, why is this miracle included in Scripture? And there could be several reasons. And when you look at it, so I have to admit, I had a hard time with this miracle because there's so much in this miracle. And you're like, what is God trying to teach us? So I had to pick one thing and pull it out. And what I want to teach today is that Jesus can forgive. Jesus has the power to forgive. Now, that's great news. If you're here today and you say, I'm a Christian, what has that got to do with me? Well, if you've trusted Jesus as your Savior and you've been forgiven at that point that you trusted Jesus as your Savior and asked Him to forgive you of your sins and boom shakalaka, it's washed away, you ought to be excited to hear this because you can, in your heart, can you say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I've been forgiven. And the, you know, the Bible says that when we're saved, our sins are cast into the depths of the sea, as far as the east is from the west, away from us, right? So our past, our present, and our future sins are all washed away, right? But guess what? If you're a Christian today, you still are a sinner. You're just a saved sinner, right? And you still fail God and you sin, right? Well, the good news is that Jesus still forgives us every time we ask Him. Now, all the slate has been wiped clean, but when we sin against God as a Christian, it can build a wall between us and God and our fellowship with Him. But the Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, what? He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if you're here today and you say, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I have trusted Jesus. I know that he is my Savior. I know where I'm going to spend eternity. You can at least look back to the point that you were saved and all your past, present, and future sins were all washed clean, forgiven. And you can just say, praise the Lord. And you can remember that those sins that we commit against God still need to be confessed. And at that point, he wipes that fellowship slate clean and says, come on, real close, give me a big old hug. He forgives us of our sins on a daily basis or a sin basis. Or how many ever times we say, Lord, forgive me. As a child of God, he forgives us and wipes that slate clean that can hurt our fellowship. But if you're here today and you've never, ever trusted Jesus as your Savior, can I tell you that you're walking around with a whole lot of shame, a whole lot of guilt, and a whole lot of weight that you're carrying on your back that you don't need to carry. You can be forgiven because Jesus can forgive you. Luke chapter 5, if you would turn in your Bibles, verse 17. Luke chapter 5, verse 17. As we continue in this passage of Scripture, notice what it says. Wonderful story. Again, we're going to try to unpack it, but it's almost like a suitcase that is overfilled. Now, no one knows what loading a suitcase too much can do, right? Now, have you ever done that? You try to put too much in it, and then you try to zip it up, and then sometimes you sit on it. Sometimes you just strain and groan and all kind of stuff trying to get it zipped up. This miracle is almost like that to me. It's got so much in it that it seems almost overstuffed. So we're going to unpack the suitcase and talk about it today. And I believe if you're here today and you're listening, you'll be blessed, okay? Verse 17, listen real close. Verse 17, you're awful quiet out there. And it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching. Who? Jesus was teaching. That there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by. Now, you got Pharisees who were the religious leaders of the day. Now, you got the Pharisees and the Sadducees and some various groups there. But right here, you got doctors or teachers of the law. So you got your intellectuals here. You got your religious leaders here. And they're listening to Jesus teach. And it says, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. Now, where is this taking place? It's taking place, we find out, according to Mark's gospel, that it's taking place in Capernaum. That's the northwest corner of the Sea of Galilee. The northwest corner of the Sea of Galilee. But you got people that's coming all the way from Jerusalem, and Jerusalem is in Judea, and you got people around Galilee that are coming. And they're listening to Jesus. Why do you think they come to listen to Jesus? Why did they actually take time to come and listen to the Lord? Because he was teaching some marvelous things, right? And because he was healing a bunch of people. He was casting out a lot of demons. I would have liked to have been there and heard this, wouldn't you? Listen, it says, now this is an amazing statement. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Wow. And behold, men brought in a man, which was taken with a palsy. Now, we don't really use that word palsy a whole lot today. I'm not sure if I've ever used it in conversation other than maybe talking about this story. But palsy, he could not walk, okay? He was paralyzed and could not walk. Everybody with me on that? Just give me a little nod. Now, don't get too excited out there, but do move. Nod. Okay. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. Now, in this gospel of Luke, it doesn't say how many. Now, Mark's gospel says there were four. Four that knew this guy that was paralyzed, could not walk, and four of them brought him to Jesus. All right? Now, listen. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, so there was a huge crowd and they were inside a house, okay? And can you kind of picture this? We got four friends here. And this message could very well be preached about friendship in action, don't you think? A friend just isn't someone who says, I'm your friend, I'm your friend, I'm your friend. Someone who goes out of their way for you. And these four went out of their way. So if you need to hear that today, listen close. The Holy Spirit might say, hey, 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 you need to be a better friend. But friendship will cost you something, right? And friendship means someone actually puts it into action. And these four friends put their friendship into action. They knew this guy who was paralyzed, could not walk. And the four of them said, you know what? We've heard about this Jesus. He can heal people. So our friend here needs healed. So we're going to take him to Jesus. Now, there could have been all kinds of excuses for those four friends to say, no, no, no. One of them might say, you know, I don't like crowds. Another one might say, well, I don't know, it's a good ways down there. I don't know if I want to carry him that far. You know, all kind of excuses could have been given, but those four showed their friendship by taking this man who was paralyzed, who could not walk, to Jesus. So can you imagine, can you kind of picture this in your mind's eye? And they get to the house where Jesus is teaching. And they're like, what are we going to do? We need to get our friend to Jesus. But we can't because look at all the crap. I can imagine, you know, I've heard people talk about some of these country churches the way it used to be when they had revival. You know, there wasn't enough room in the seats, in the pews. They put chairs up and down the aisle perhaps, and maybe on this side and over here. And then these churches had windows and they'd open them up. There'd be people on the outside listening. Now, you've heard stories. Some of you have encountered that, right? Where the churches at one point were overflowing at revival time. Now, that's kind of the way I picture this. That house was overflowing, okay? There was more people that can fit in that house because there was a multitude there. So they're bringing their friend, and they're like, hey, we got a problem. We can't get our friend to Jesus. There are too many people. Does that remind you of another short guy in the story? Now, I have a special place in my heart for short people. It's because I is a short person, okay? I have a special place in my heart. You know, Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, right? And he come up with a plan to get up a little higher, to get in a tree. Here we got four guys and the one who's paralyzed. I don't know which one of them would come up with the idea, but it was a good one. They said, we can't get to Jesus through the door, so we're going to make a way through the roof. Now, listen, I want you to picture this in your mind's eye. This is almost, to me, it's kind of funny. I mean, if you think about what the reactions of the people might be, I think it's kind of funny. I mean, there's a point to this miracle. It's a wonderful miracle. It, of course, shows the power of God. But I want you to think about what was going on and what was being whispered around the multitude of people that were gathered together. Can y'all smile at me again? I think that smile wore off. Not real pretty. Real pretty. Don't be thinking about what you got to do this afternoon or what you got to do tomorrow or what. Just say, I'm going to listen to the word of God and let it be a blessing today, okay? Now here, it says, they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way, verse 19, they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went up on the housetop and led him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. Man, brilliant idea. Brilliant idea. They get up on the roof. Now, the house is, now there's some, we don't know exactly the shape of the house. Probably it was a stone house or a brick house, probably. Made out of clay bricks or a stone house, most likely, okay? Now, most of those houses had a flat roof, okay? But if it was after the Roman style, it might have had a pitched roof, okay? And from what I gather, I read up on this a little bit, they would get logs and lay up on the walls, okay? And then they would put other smaller wood pieces and branches on top of that, and then they might put clay on top of that. Now, if it's after the Roman style like this, they may have used what was clay tile. And it mentions tiling here, okay? So we do know there was a roof, okay? And we do know that that's the means by which these people were going to get to Jesus. Now, if the roofs were flat, and that was more typical, if the roof was flat, and it may have had tile on top of that, perhaps, but a lot happened on the roof. I mean, they would go up, and, you know, maybe they would be up there, and they would be enjoying the day or getting the breeze. I mean, it wasn't like a roof that you never went on, okay? But these guys figured out a way to get on the roof. And as people are listening to Jesus, and they're, you know, again, you've got some pretty, probably pretty important people here. I mean, we're talking about Pharisees and it says doctors of the law or teachers of the law. And they're there and they're listening to Jesus. And most of them are probably trying to figure out how they can trip Jesus up and ask a question that he can't answer. But can you imagine they're doing this and all of a sudden there's a few roof flakes that come down. I know how distracted you are as people, as I would be in your seat too, because I'm up front. I mean, you let the least little thing happen. I mean, if you knock a lily off the platform, which I almost did there a few weeks back, but you let anything like that happen or let someone come in or a kid come running in or any noise that's out there, I mean, we're like, what's going on? But can you imagine? They're there listening to Jesus and part of the roof starts falling down, you know, like little flakes. And you're like, what in the world? Must be a bird or something, right? Some critter. And then the hole starts getting bigger, and they're looking up saying, what in the world? And it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And then they eventually lift him down to Jesus. Wow. Listen to this. It says, can't you kind of see the humor in that? Okay, all right. One or two of you can. All right. It says, they went up on the housetop, let him down through the tiling, verse 19, with his couch or mat or mattress into the midst before Jesus. And when he, that's Jesus, saw their faith, he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Wow. It says he saw their faith, plural. He said unto him, singular, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees. Now, remember, they were not, for the most part, friends of Jesus. They mainly opposed him the whole ministry, his whole ministry. Now, there were a few exceptions to that, but not a lot. Notice, they began to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Can't you almost hear it in their sanctimonious words and their holier-than-thou attitude and snobbing their nose up, and who can forgive sins but God? Can you kind of hear that? It says, but when Jesus, verse 22, perceived their thoughts, you know, you got to be careful where your thoughts are because the Lord knows what you're thinking right now. If you're thinking mean thoughts against the preacher, the Lord knows it. All right. He answering, said unto them, what reason ye in your hearts? Whether is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk? Verse 24, key verse, I believe. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. He said unto the sick of the palsy. Now, he said, thy sins be forgiven, so that we'd know that he has power upon earth to forgive sins. He had the power then. He has the power today. We're going to talk about that. But then I believe he turned to this paralyzed guy and said, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy couch, and go into thine house. Man, don't you imagine? Now, if we're not careful, when we read these words in Scripture, it's going, okay, then he picked up his bed and he went. I mean, you got to think about the excitement. I mean, what if you couldn't walk? But then this man Jesus says, get up and walk. Guess what? And you get up and walk, and you not only walk, but you take your bed with you. Man, this guy was excited. Wouldn't you be excited about that? Wow. AJ, you were pretty excited when you was able to get up and get around, right? From your illness? Yeah. And it was like, I mean, you were probably about ready to shout hallelujah when you could get up and get around pretty good, right? Imagine this guy paralyzed. Jesus says, get up, walk, take your bed, and he goes home. But notice, he goes home a changed man too. It says he took up that whereon he lay. It says, verse 25, immediately he rose up before them. Immediately. Took up that whereon he lay, departed to his own house. And what was he doing? He was glorifying God. Wow. We need some people to glorify God, don't you think? We need some people to brag on God. We need some people that want to praise God. Verse 26, and they were all amazed. All amazed. And they glorified God and were filled with fear. They recognized the power of Jesus. So they're like, wow. And they said, now these are the people that were gathered together. They were amazed. They glorified God. They were filled with fear. And they said, we have seen strange things today. Now, it's not every day you're in somebody's house and the roof starts to give away a little bit. It's not every day that you hear the teachings of Jesus, right? Because they were, if you will, strange or amazing to the people, because he's one, remember the scripture says, he's one that taught with authority instead of like all the other teachers of that day that were wishy-washy and not right with God. And then it's kind of strange to see someone who cannot walk get up and walk and take his bed and glorify God. Wow. I'd like to have been there. I wouldn't have liked necessarily to have been the homeowner, because I'd be thinking, now how in the world am I going to fix that hole in my roof? I tell you what, I ought to go on a Flex Seal commercial. That's the way I fix my roof. I've been up there so many times, I've used gallons of Flex Seal on my roof. I hope it made it through the storm last night. But anyway, these people saw some amazing, strange things. But what can we learn from this today? What can we learn from this? Let's talk about it just a little bit more. First of all, the paralyzed man was a sinner. The paralyzed man was a sinner. Now, you say, sinner. What's a sinner? A sinner is anybody that does anything that's contrary to God, right? Now, lying is a sin. Cheating on a test is a sin. Murdering somebody is a sin, right? Thinking bad thoughts is a sin. Saying bad things, those are all sins, right? And if you've done any of those things, guess what? You are a sinner, and this paralyzed man was a sinner. You say, how do you know that? Because if he wasn't a sinner, why in the world would Jesus have said, thy sins are forgiven thee? Can I tell you, the only perfect person to ever walk on this earth was Jesus Christ himself. So the paralyzed man was a sinner. You see, this man's greatest need was also forgiveness of his sins, not physical healing. Now that was great. But you know how long the physical healing would have lasted without the spiritual healing? Just as long as ever he lived, right? And then he died just like all the rest of the people that had two arms, two legs that worked perfectly their whole life. He still would have, his greatest need was forgiveness. His greatest need was forgiveness. Can I tell you that you and I are sinners also? We're sinners. That's a problem. That's a problem. You realize that you cannot take your sin to heaven? Do you realize that you cannot go to heaven carrying your sin? I don't care how many good works you've done. I don't care how many people you've helped. I don't care how much money you contribute to your favorite charity. I don't care how nice you are. I don't even care how many times you come to church. If you don't know Jesus and if you have not been forgiven of your sins, you cannot go to heaven. The paralyzed guy was a sinner. As I look out All I see out there is sinners. And as all those eyes are looking up here, all you see is a sinner. I'm a sinner. If we don't get our sins forgiven, we will spend an eternity in a place called hell of punishment and separation from God. You see, point number one in this sermon series, Miracles That Teach, Jesus can forgive sin. Number one, the paralyzed man was a sinner. You and I are sinners too. Point number two, the Pharisees and scribes made a good point. You say, whoa, preacher. I'm not sure if I've ever heard this in church, because the Pharisees and the scribes and the religious leaders of the day, they were off base on everything, it seemed. But actually here, they make a good point. No one fell out of their seat, but you're looking at me like I'm crazy. The Pharisees and scribes made a good point. And what is that good point? Look at verse 21. He says, they said, whispered in their under their breath or reasoned in their hearts. We're not sure if it actually verbally came out, but he read their mind. If not, I wouldn't be surprised if they're going, psst, who can do it? You know how people like to do. They like to whisper when someone's teaching or preaching sometimes. They say a true statement. Who can forgive sins but God alone? That's a true statement. The only one that can forgive your sin is God Himself. Wow. That's a correct statement, that only God can forgive sin. You know, when you do something wrong against somebody and you feel really bad, and then you go and you say, would you please forgive me for this? Now, hopefully that happens in your life, because you are a sinner and you do people wrong sometimes, because every one of us do, right? And when they say, I forgive you, it feels good, right? But you know, the only one that can ultimately forgive you is God. The Pharisees and the scribes got it right. But guess what? Can I let you in on a little secret that really isn't a secret at all? Jesus was God. He was not only the Son of God, but He was God Himself. Now, I don't think the Pharisees and the scribes got it and get it, I think most of them left the world still not getting it. But they did make a statement that was true. Only God can forgive sin. Jesus was God Himself. We know Him. We know the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We know Him as God the Son, right? He's the one that took on flesh and came to this earth. But when He did that, He did not lose His godness. I like making words and saying statements that necessarily aren't grammatically correct. But He did not lose His deity, okay? He was still God. And as you've heard me say many times, He was 100% God and 100% man. You say, how's that add up? How's that work? I have no clue, but it worked. How can you be 200% of a man? He was 100% God and 100% man at the same time. But you see, this Jesus in this story, this Jesus that lived, this Jesus that gave His all for us, was indeed God Himself. John 1:1. Notice this verse. It says, in the beginning was the Word, capital W, speaking of Jesus. And the Word, capital W, speaking of Jesus, was with God. That would be God the Father. And the Word was God. You see, Jesus is God. You know, a lot of people, you look at me like, preacher, I think that's obvious. But to a lot of people, that's not obvious. To a lot of people in this world, He's a good example. He's a good man. He's a good prophet. He's a good... That's not good enough. You got to know. You got to understand. You got to believe that Jesus was indeed God Himself, who took on flesh to come to this earth. Today, as we look at this miracle that definitely teaches, miracles that teach, Jesus can forgive sin. Point number one, the paralyzed man was a sinner. Number two, the Pharisees and scribes made a good point. Only God can forgive sin. Point number three, the paralyzed man and his friends came to Jesus. Are you ready for this? the paralyzed man and his friends came to Jesus in faith. In faith. You say, how do you know that? Well, one reason you can look at their actions, right? They knew where the answer was. It was found in Jesus. They knew how to get their friend healed. It was by coming to Jesus. So remember, multitude in the way, they go on the roof, they go. But even Jesus commends them. Look at verse 20. Verse 20, and when he saw their faith. You know, this is recorded for all of eternity. The word of God's going to stand, and it says these four and this paralyzed guy, guess what? They showed faith. The paralyzed man and his friends came to Jesus in faith. Jesus says, and when he saw their faith, the Bible says. You know, that's how we come to Jesus to be saved. That's how we come to Jesus to have our sins forgiven, right? We have to come in faith. Sometimes it's mentioned as belief. Same idea. John 3:16, would you say that with me? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Did you see that? Whosoever believeth in him, you gotta have faith in Jesus to have your sins forgiven. It's important that we come to him in faith if we want to be saved. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart, did you catch that? Shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man, believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You see, if you want your sins forgiven, if you want to be saved, you got to come to Jesus in faith. You got to come to Jesus in faith. You know, Jesus actually is the only way to be forgiven. Now, I'm telling you, most religions teach. I'll say every religion other than Christianity, if you want to group it that way, teach that you're saved by works. That's not the way you get saved. You get saved by coming to Jesus in faith. Every false religion around the world believes that. And many of the churches grouped within Christianity, if you want to look at the heading and they be grouped as a Christian church, most denominations teach that. That you work your way to heaven. No, thank you. It will not work. I'd be a nervous wreck. I wonder if I did enough today. I'm not sure. I sure hope my good works outweigh my bad works so I can go to heaven. That's not the way you get your sins forgiven. You get your sins forgiven by putting your faith in Jesus. Coming to Jesus in faith. And guess what? We got to believe that he is exactly who the Bible says he is. The Son of God. Born of a virgin. He lived a perfect life. He died upon the cross to pay for our sins. And when he died, he wasn't paying for his own sins. He was paying for our sins. And then he resurrected back to life. And he's now at the right hand of God the Father. You got to believe that. You got to have faith in that. You got to trust that. You say, preacher, I can't see it. Well, that's why it's called faith. You have faith in the truths of the Word of God. You have faith that the Bible is true. You have faith that Jesus is exactly who the Bible says he is. And without that, you cannot be forgiven. You say, I want my sins forgiven, but I just don't believe, I don't know about this virgin birth thing. Well, you can't be saved. You got to believe the whole story. It's like you accept it all or you reject it all. That's only the way it works. You say, well, I believe that he was a good person. I believe he died. No, it's not good enough. You got to believe that he was the Son of God. You got to come to him in faith and say, that's who I know he is by faith. And you got to believe that he resurrected back to life. Some people might say, he's a good guy. He's a good teacher. But this thing about resurrecting back to life, that's just not going to. Well, then you cannot be saved until you accept that truth. Because you got to come to Jesus in faith and believe who he is. John chapter 14 and verse 6. This blows a hole in most people's idea of salvation and being saved and being forgiven of their sins. It's quoted all the time, but you know, it's profound. Jesus said these very words. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the only way. Putting your faith and trust in Jesus is the only way to get to heaven. I mean, I could just quote verse after verse after verse. Look up verse after verse after verse that says the same thing. You say, that's all right, preacher. I have faith that he's, but I'm just not sure. I'm just going to work a little harder to make sure I'm saved. That's kind of dangerous territory. It really is. Because either it's Jesus plus nothing, it's Jesus minus nothing, it's simply Jesus. Putting your faith in who Jesus really was. Today, miracles that teach Jesus can forgive sin. First of all, the paralyzed man was a sinner. And you and I are sinners too. The Bible says, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All means all, and that's all that it means. Point number two, the Pharisees and scribes made a good point. You're right, only God can forgive sin. And right there is God himself, Jesus. Third, the paralyzed man and his friends came to Jesus in faith. That's the only way to be forgiven of your sin. That's the only way to become a Christian. That's the only way to be saved. That's the only way to experience salvation. However you want to say it, it's the only way to get right with God is by putting faith in Jesus. Last point, Jesus had and has the power to forgive sins. Jesus not only had it, but he still has the power to forgive sins. You know, Jesus has the power to heal a person, right? It says back here in verse 17, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. But notice verse 24. It says, Jesus has the power to forgive. I say unto thee, arise, take up thy couch, and go into thy house. It says there, thy sins be forgiven thee. Verse 23. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Jesus had the power. Jesus has the power to forgive. Ephesians chapter 1 verses 6 and 7. Notice what it says. Ephesians chapter 1 verses 6 and 7. It says, to the praise of the glory of his grace. I thank the Lord for his grace, don't you? Wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. That's through Jesus. Listen. It says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. We were bought back by the blood of Jesus. And notice it says also the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Wow. You know, Jesus had the power to forgive sins, and Jesus has the power to forgive sins. You know, Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, but God commendeth his love toward us. He demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, a wonderful, wonderful miracle in Scripture. I believe it illustrates beyond the shadow of a doubt that Jesus can forgive sin. Today we looked at point number one, the paralyzed man was a sinner. And I made the point that you're a sinner too. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. Secondly, we looked at the Pharisees and scribes, made a good point that only God can forgive sin. You can try to hide your sin. You can try to bury it somewhere. You can try to do whatever you want to. You can go to all the counselors in the world, but it's not going to forgive your sins. The only one that can forgive your sins is Jesus himself. You see, point number three, we looked at the paralyzed man and his friends came to Jesus in faith. And the last point we looked at, Jesus had and has the power to forgive sins. So if you're here today and you're saved, I hope that on your heart you got these three letters, PTL exclamation point. Praise the Lord. On your heart, I hope, if you've come to Jesus and you've trusted him by faith and asked him to forgive you of your sins, guess what? Like we said before, your past, your present, and your future sins are all washed clean. And you don't have to put your head on your pillow and say, I wonder where I'd go if I died tonight. And you could die tonight. I could die tonight. Any of us could die tonight. So if you're here today and you've heard this miracle of Jesus, I hope if you know Jesus as your Savior, big old PTL exclamation points on your heart. Praise the Lord, I know where I'm going. I've been forgiven. But for whatever reason, God gave me this message this morning, so I'm just naive enough to believe it. There's someone here that's never trusted Jesus as Savior. Or you're just not sure. You're just like, don't go through life. Are you safe? Are you 100% sure you go to heaven? Don't be that way. The Bible teaches a no-so salvation. And if you don't know you're saved, there's a possibility you're not saved. But you know what? The good news is you're a sinner. You may have guilt. You may have shame. You may feel totally inadequate and unfulfilled in life. But guess what? If you come to Jesus in faith today, you can nail that thing down. You can say, you can get a PTL exclamation point on your heart too and be saved today. One of the best questions that I ask, are you 100% sure that if you died today, you'd go to heaven? Are you 100% sure that if you died today, you'd go to heaven? Now, if you had to answer that in any way other than yes, I am sure, I'd encourage you. We're going to sing a song here in just a moment. I'm going to be somewhere down around front as Jason leads us. Why not come down the aisle today and say, you know what? I want to know. I want to be 100% sure I'm on my way to heaven. I'm a little fuzzy on that. I'm a little unsure about that. Or you may come down and say, I know that I'm not saved. But you come down here today, and guess what? We'll take whatever time necessary. And you can leave this place just like this paralyzed guy that got healed and got forgiven of his sins and entered into a relationship with God. You can leave this place glorifying God. You could say, you know what, if anybody asks me tomorrow, if you come and trust Jesus today and nail that thing down, someone asks you tomorrow, are you for sure, are you 100% sure you go to heaven? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. I know where I'm going because I came to Jesus in faith. I believe that he is exactly who the Bible says he was. Born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, died upon the cross to pay for my sins, resurrected back to life, the right hand of the Father right now. I believe all of that, not just verbally, but in my heart. And I'm willing to commit myself to Jesus. Lord, forgive me of my sins. I'm a sinner. And he'll do the same thing for you that he did for me when I was 11 years old. We're coming upon my 50th anniversary as a Christian. In June, I will have been saved 50 years. Wow. I know I don't look that old. But the point is, just like he forgave me, he'll forgive you. You know, whether you want to admit it or not, if you've never trusted Jesus, you're carrying around a load. You're carrying around that guilt and that shame. You're carrying around that burden and that weight that you don't need to carry. Just give it to Jesus by faith. Here it is, Lord, take it. He'll take it away. He'll replace that burden, that guilt, and that shame with peace. with purpose, with joy, and an eternal reward in heaven with him forever and ever and ever. Sounds like a pretty good swap to me. How about you? If you're saved, you may want to come to the altar as we sing and say, praise the Lord. I just want to come to the altar, humble myself before you. A good value of coming to the altar is humility. So maybe you need to come to the altar today and humble yourself and say, God, I just thank you that I've been forgiven. I know when it was. I know where I'm going. I know that I'm saved. And if I breathe my last in the next minute or two, I'm going to heaven to be with my Jesus. You may want to come to the altar and just say, thank you, Lord, for that. I praise you for that. But again, if you're here and you've never been forgiven of your sins, you don't know you're on your way to heaven, no better place than right here. No better time than right now. If you feel the Holy Spirit inside of you saying, you need to do something, you need to be saved, you need to be saved, you'll never regret it. I've never talked to one person who truly got saved that ever said, you know what, I wish I'd have never done that. Most of them say, that was the best decision I ever made. Would you nail that down today? Would you bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful miracle in Scripture. And Lord, we thank you that Jesus can forgive. And Lord, my simple request is this. May every Christian who has truly been forgiven, truly been saved, truly been born again in the past, I pray, Lord, that they'll just have a praise the Lord on their heart. Just be grateful and thankful today. Because, Lord, as we think about Jesus, guess what? He was in a war, too, with evil, and he won the victory for us. He gave his life. As we celebrate even Memorial Day, Lord, those that gave their life for freedom, Lord, Jesus gave his life for our freedom. And, Lord, I pray that Christians will just be excited about being saved and what Jesus did for them. Lord, if there's one soul here today that's never trusted Jesus, never been forgiven, not sure they're on their way to heaven, Lord, convict them with your Holy Spirit. Give them the boldness to step out of that seat and come forward and say to the preacher, preacher, I need to be saved. I want to nail it down. We pray this in Jesus' name.